For some years, drone flights have been allowed across New Zealand as long as the operator kept the drone itself in their sight. But now, beyond visual line of sight operations, or BVLOS, are being allowed under special conditions. What does this mean for aviation safety, specifically the safety of general aviation operations? I'm Pen Mackay, and this is the Vector Online interview, BVLOS Operations and the GA Pilot. I'm joined by Corey Price, who's the CAA's team leader of the Unmanned Aircraft Unit. Drones are also known as unmanned aircraft, or simply UA. Also here is Scott Griffith, who's the Deputy Director of the CAA's Emerging Technologies Program. And also with us is CAA Aviation Safety Advisor Mark Houston, who spends a great deal of time with the general aviation community, and he'll be asking Corey some of the more common questions GA has about drone activity. So, Corey, I'll start with you. We at the Civil Aviation Authority divide operators of drones into Part 101 operators and Part 102 operators. What's the difference?
So here in New Zealand, we've got two rules that we operate under, Civil Aviation Rule Part 101 and Part 102. Part 101 operations are very prescriptive. They tell you what you can and can't do when you're flying a drone. So for example, the rules say you're not allowed to fly a drone at night. You must have consent from people and property owners before you fly over any person or over any property. There are rules around how close you can fly to an aerodrome, for example. Part 102 is the rule that we use to certificate a drone organisation. So a Part 102 unmanned aircraft operator certificate allows us to consider a safety case from an operator and assess that operator's ability to be able to do what they would like to do. So that might be flying at night, for example, and that operator will be expected to show us how they will mitigate the risks of their particular operation and reduce those risks to an acceptable level.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Scott, on the face of it, beyond visual line of sight sounds quite risky. What are some of the special conditions that we talked about that need to be met that allow such flights?
Yeah, well, on the face of it, would be quite risky. And if we didn't certificate people like Corey's just described, then it certainly would be. But we go through with a reasonably fine-tooth comb. So you can divide this into strategic and tactical risk mitigations. So that starts right at the planning stage, what we look at what an operator is going to do. And a strategic example would be to issue a NOTAM. So UA operator is going to most likely be required to do that to alert other airspace users that this beyond visual line of sight activity is taking place. And indeed, given enough notice, it may actually be an AIP supplement rather than a NOTAM. The tactical example would be use of flight radio and ADS-B in to monitor traffic in the area so that if necessary, the UA can modify the flight path and avoid other aircraft. And some UA operators may even have permission to broadcast on flight radio. So you actually may hear the position calls as normal so that will increase awareness in that area.
Okay. If a UA operator doesn't, say, have a NOTAM issued for their beyond visual line of sight operation, what could happen to them or to their license?
Well, if an incident were to occur, then there would be some sort of reporting action would kick in and an investigation would take place. And if it turned out that UA operator had breached the conditions in their exposition, then worst case scenario, there could be a finding against them and that certification could be pulled.
What sort of BVLOS operations are happening right now?
Yeah, so we've had a couple of really significant ones recently. And one of those was earlier in the year, there was a trial done in the Mackenzie Basin over a couple of weeks. And this was to test out the potential operating procedures for air taxis. And it was done in uncontrolled airspace out of Tekapo Aerodrome, where we had a UA fly some predefined routes up to about 20 nautical miles south. And these flights were sort of between 5,000 to 7,000 feet altitude, took about 40, 45 minutes. And the remote pilots used their flight radio to communicate with and deconflict with other airspace users there, as well as traffic going on in the aerodrome. We had a mock air traffic control set up to simulate a controlled airspace environment. And all this went absolutely on rails. It was surprising actually how similar this was to just normal activity. You might have not even realized that there wasn't a pilot on board this aircraft. And then we're also getting a number of companies that are really starting to stretch their legs, so to speak, in terms of what they're doing with the development of their aircraft. So there's a couple recently that have just been given their BVLOS approval to sort of test their own systems.
Mark, I want to bring you in here. You meet with GA pilots all the time, and you've probably got some questions of Corey about some of the more common questions that you're getting from that community.
Thanks, Pen. I do get a number of queries regards the operation of drones, and considering that they've been around for quite a while now, since 2015, the GA community don't seem to have a lot of information about what it takes to operate these. So, Corey, how can a drone be allowed to operate near GA aircraft?
Yeah, look, and I can understand, particularly the pilots of GA aircraft, they've got more skin in the game, arguably, than a drone operator does. And they will be, and I understand their nervousness around unmanned aircraft being able to operate near them or in the same airspace that they're operating in. Under the Part 101 rules, unmanned aircraft operators must give way to and remain well clear of any crewed aircraft. So any other aircraft that turns up, the drone is expected to get out of the way of the manned aircraft. Now, that's one thing I think that we need to be really careful of, and just looping back on what Scott was talking about before, the importance of checking NOTAMs now, particularly where there are these beyond visual line of sight operations taking place. If one of the control mechanisms that we've put in place to try and protect GA pilots and their aircraft from the risk of a collision with an unmanned aircraft, one of those mechanisms might be using a restricted airspace, for example. And so if you haven't checked your NOTAMs and you fly into a restricted area where there are beyond visual line of sight operations taking place, then you are putting yourself in some danger, because the unmanned aircraft operator in that particular piece of airspace may not have the ability to detect and avoid the GA aircraft that enters. So everyone really does need to play their part here, and we're all playing together in the same sandpit here, and we have some responsibility for looking after ourselves and making sure that our pre-flight preparations and planning are done accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. And Drones are hard to see it in at the best of times. So when they post the flights on Facebook and YouTube, and often with a commentary as well, they seem to be very close to aircraft and aerodromes. What's CAA doing about this?
Yeah, the CAA is obviously very concerned about any reports that we get, and where we get footage showing unmanned aircraft being operated dangerously close to other aircraft. When we get complaints or reports, and we have information that allows us to track down and identify the person who was operating that drone, the CAA can take action against the person flying the drone, and we have in the past prosecuted people for operating their drones in a way that causes unnecessary danger to other people or property. So, as I say, rest assured, the CAA is aware of that issue. If we find sufficient evidence to be able to take action against an irresponsible drone operator, then we certainly will.
Good, thanks. And a question I get from a variety of aircraft operators in the GA world, and they're saying, will drones ever take over any of the roles that GA aircraft operate now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I suspect GA operators might not like the answer to this in some respects, because I think, as with any new and emerging technology, it creates all sorts of opportunities to advance from what we're doing traditionally or have done traditionally. And I think that's exactly what we'll be seeing at some time in the future. And in fact, right now, to a certain extent, there are certain types of operations that could be done either more efficiently or more safely using an unmanned aircraft, taking a human pilot out of the cockpit and what could arguably some of our most challenging types of operations. So removing the human from the cockpit for those types of operations, in my view, is a really good thing to consider. Now, all unmanned agricultural aircraft operations completely take over the traditional operator. I don't think that we'd ever get to that position anytime soon. I think that a smart ag operator would likely bring on the unmanned component to their existing operations and use it where it makes sense to do the spot spraying type operation or the edge, do around the edges using the unmanned aircraft and fill in the middle with your traditional manned aircraft.
Okay, thanks, Corey. That's great. And there are some concerns, obviously, with the roles being taken over, but I think I agree with you on that one. So I think the best thing for me to do would be to talk to those GA folk and get them involved with the drone operations and maybe talk to operators to find out exactly how they go about their business.
Scott, back to you. What do BV loss operations mean for crewed flights?
Well, essentially, it doesn't mean anything new. It just means that everyone needs to step up to the plate and do what they've always have and should be doing. So we've already talked about the importance of checking NOTAMs and AIP SUPs before you go flying, so you know what activity might be taking place where. And we've talked about the tactical stuff of having ADS-B out and using your flight radio. Now, at the end of the year, ADS-B out becomes compulsory for all controlled airspace, but it's not compulsory in uncontrolled airspace. However, most of the BV loss flying at the moment is happening in uncontrolled airspace. So you can put two and two together here and realize that ADS-B out is actually a really important tool in uncontrolled airspace, even though it's not compulsory. So I would really implore everyone who hasn't done it yet to get ADS-B out fitted to your aircraft. And then airmanship, as Corey has pointed out, the UA needs to give way, but everyone is responsible for airmanship. So see and avoid principle. If you see something and you see a confliction, then be prepared to do something about it. And don't assume that even though by law the UA has to get out of the way, it's on you as well to make sure that safety is achieved.
Scott, there's a couple of new tools to help manned flights negotiate airspace with UA flights. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, sure. So the first one is Go Preflight, and that is the new platform that's been developed over the last couple of years between Aeropath and Met Service, and that's now the new place to get your tactical aeronautical information, such as NOTAMs and your Met data, and it's a nicer kind of graphical pictorial form than the old IFAS site. So you need to get a login for that. Pretty simple to do so. It's free for GA operators just with their basic account. So really, there's no excuse not to have that information at your fingertips now. And then additionally, there's another platform called Flight Advisor. So the URL for that is flightadvisornz.io. And this is a tool that's been developed by the New Zealand Defence Force to improve situational awareness below 1,000 feet AGL for all low-level users. It's not just for military users. And there's been a really high uptake in the agricultural community and the 102 community. So this is a way where you can post the routes of the flights that you're going to do up to 72 hours ahead so that everyone else can see what you're doing and you can see what everyone else is doing. And it actually shows you pictorially on a map all the en route NOTAMs below 10,000 feet. So that's kind of a good one-stop shop where you're probably going to see where BV loss activities are taking place at first glance.
Okay, great. Thanks, Scott. And the links to those new tools will be uploaded to the Vector online page for those of you who are listening. Well, my thanks to Corey Price, Scott Griffith and Mark Houston for being here to explain a little more about GA pilots and UA pilots sharing the skies safely, particularly now that beyond visual line of sight flights are now with us. If any of you listening want to know more, you can go to the drone safety page on our website, and that link has also been uploaded to the same page that this interview is on. You can also listen to two other interviews. One is called The Business with Drones, which is mainly about Part 102 operations. And the second interview is If You Fly a Drone, You're a Pilot, and that is mainly aimed at Part 101 operators. And those two interviews are also with Corey and Scott. But this has been the Vector Online interview, BV Loss Operations and the GA Pilot. I'm Pen Mackay. Thanks for listening.